Well, with us right now, as you know, I hope that you have a bulletin card that is there. We're going to get right into the message. What a beautiful day. We know that today also we're entitling this day Membership Sunday. And we have 36 people are going through square one, which is really, we just cut a brand new format for people to know what Foursquare is all about. Church history, we're currently going through the history of the church from first century to current, as well as just what we believe. So at the end of my message, we want to do our standard policy, and that is invite you who want to become a part of Hope Chapel as a member. We're going to welcome you up front. You're going to notice here, you see this, welcome to Hope Chapel. Here's all I'm going to be asking of those that will be up front. I'll be reading this pledge, and you'll simply say, I will. We know you may have received my letter yesterday. All it requires is that you are born again. We know that Acts 4 says that God added to the church daily those who are being saved. So we really make it just very biblical, but it's very, very much a point of importance to you and me that we become accountable and we have a place, a church, that we are responsible for, as well as a Foursquare church, we're asked to give invitation for public acknowledgement of people that want to join the church. Well, with that, so hold on. Some of you are ready of that, and we're grateful. You've mentioned, hey, I want to join the church, so we're going to not wait till square one's done. We're just going to let that happen at the end of today, the service. But let's go into the message, shall we? You're going to see here, first of all, if you remember, we've been going through a series, God Will Go the Extra Mile to Bless. That's our theme, Go the Extra Mile. God does that for us. How many know that He, very clearly, Jesus says that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He's good to the evil and on the good. I mean, we need rain. Everybody needs rain. All life is formed from water, really, when it's sustained by it anyway. But when it comes to just going the extra mile for people, God does that, and we're looking at strategic elements to establish our lives so that God will bless us. We know He wants to bless. He even says, speak blessings. So it's important we take a look at today's topic today once again. Now, before I begin to announce what that message is, you know me. Wednesday was Lent. So, heard a cute story about a man that was the only Protestant in an all-Catholic neighborhood. And when Lent began, he would be found cooking steak on his outdoor barbecue while the rest of his neighbors are eating fish. They could not handle the temptation anymore, so eventually they converged on this neighbor of theirs and tried to convince him to become a Catholic. Eventually he agreed. And the Catholic priest summoned him forward, sprinkled some water on him, and said, you were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, you are now a Catholic. So, next year when Lent began, the neighbor started smelling steak burning right there, while the rest of them were eating fish sticks. They could not comprehend it. They merged right on his grounds there, and there he was. They found him sprinkling water on the barbecued steak. And he is saying, you were born a cow, you were raised a cow, and you are now a fish. I wish life was that easy, don't you? Man, that would be awesome. So, Lord, as we open our hearts today, there's things that really we could only say it's a miracle hand of God on each of our lives, just for us to be here today and be a part of what we are engaged with. It's a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's message is establish your life with spiritual growth. God will bless. So we're looking at that element, spiritual growth. How many remember just wanting to grow up? I remember wanting to grow up. I wanted to be 18. I wanted some things, namely, I wanted a little more independence. I wanted a job, earn money. I wanted my driver's license and get a car. I remember all these things. And then when I hit 18 and 19, I realized I acquired that, but something was lacking. I was very immature. And that I realized how immature I was when I hit about 22 and asked Ainsley really to become my girlfriend. That was a big deal. Commitment was not really something I was all about. But it is interesting because when we take a look at that, that same area, maturity happens really over strategic dedication and determination, really hard work. Just physical aging happens by a process of time. It's very much the same spiritually. Spiritually, we know this, that even though we may be following Jesus for a long time, that does not necessarily mean that we are spiritually mature. Because that similar dynamic for maturity spiritually has to happen intentionally and with hard work. I just want to remind you of that. Because something, well, I've been going to church a long time, does not necessarily mean that you or I are spiritually mature. We're talking about establishing your life with spiritual maturity. I'm telling you, God will bless. Well, how is that going to happen? Let's take a look here. And I know you want to make notes. You're going to jump on in to a life group and grow together for sure. Number one, embrace spiritual growth as God's path for your life. That's going to be important. Embrace that. Let's start here with Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And if you have that Bible of yours open, before I read verse 12, you know verse 11 says that Jesus gave the church. You're the church. You know Jesus died for the church, not for individuals. I know that sounds contrary, but we are part of a community. You've got to be a part of a community. You can't say, well, it's just Jesus and me alone. You've got to be a part. He shed his blood for the church, upon which that's you. But the thing is, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastor teachers. That's Ephesians 4:11. And why? Well, take a look here, verse 12. Their responsibility is to, and this is what my responsibility is. You've got to determine who's your pastor. Is that person speaking words that encourage you and build you up? That's how you know you belong to a church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Can you see that? We will no longer be immature. Spiritual maturity, the term is God's path for your life. Because people say, well, what's God's will for me? What path? I'm telling you very clearly, God wants you and me to be mature. So letter A on our notes, spiritual growth, it's God's will for your life. It's not just for pastors or for Christian leaders or workers. God wants our faith in him and our experience with him to really grow. Really to abound. It's a beautiful life. I love that, to really read. Man, God is real. He does stuff. He moves things around. It's amazing. So when your spiritual journey began, and I'm hoping so many of your spiritual journeys have begun here at Hope Chapel, I'm glad you're a part of the square one. So important, what we're laying out there. But that means all of a sudden, we need to start to develop and deepen and mature that relationship. It's wonderful. So when we take a look here, just in case, because some of you are feeling that tension, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit came upon us. And if maturity is God's path for you, and we're not really into wanting to mature, I'm telling you, you're going to feel that rub. You're going to feel that tension because God's Spirit is trying to move you to spiritual maturity. But that's just too much work. That's too difficult. And you're feeling that. We all do. So, taking us on that journey, the Holy Spirit is for spiritual maturity. Letter B, spiritual growth is a path of freedom. Now, I want to add that because it's important before you think, it isn't that good of a deal to just kind of work hard for spiritual growth. I mean, I'm going to heaven, right? Yeah. But it is important to know that the more mature you become spiritually, there's a great deal of freedom. Remember, children, how much freedom do they have? Very little. Until they start getting more mature and responsibilities laid upon them. But as we start to mature, then we start to sense something spiritually. When we start to see things, there's a freedom that happens, freedom from yourself, or freedom from sin, or freedom from things that are destructive in attitude or behaviors. Ha! There's a freedom that happens when we start to become spiritually mature. We start to experience Jesus' presence, and not just when the hype is going on, and that's good. We start to experience power in our life and freedom to discern things. There's real freedom. I want that. I want that for you. I want that for you. God has that for you. So maturing brings real freedom, and freedom to serve God without being edgy, freedom to influence people. It's wonderful. So the more we resist building our lives with spiritual maturity, I think we're going to feel ourselves being stuck and in bondage year after year. And you say, well, it's just the circumstances in my life. It could be. You're just resisting spiritual growth. Spirit of God's trying to move you, and you or I might be sabotaging our own progress. Number two, know the difference between maturity and immaturity. Now, that would be important. People say, well, how do I know somebody's mature or not so mature? It's going to be important when we take a look at that, because if you were to deal with this, let's look for a moment in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look here. It says here, but dear brothers and sisters, it's talking to Christians, isn't it? Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. Man, that is so glaring, like kaboom. Hey, I'm insulted. You're calling me an infant in Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was writing. And it's important here. So letter A, spiritual immaturity looks like the world. That's what he just said. It's interesting. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world. Isn't that interesting? You really have to smooth things down. Oh, yeah, I get that. That's what the Apostle Paul is. So one of the key signs of immaturity is that we still look, still act, still sound, still behave, we're still thinking, very much like the world. That's what the Bible says. That's how you can tell immaturity. 1 Corinthians 1 was one of the key signs of immaturity, was really people's inability, here it is, to get along with other people. Their inability. Issues of pride or divisiveness crept into the church at Corinth, and Paul had to spend the whole letter of 1 Corinthians dealing with Christians taking other Christians to court. During their communion, people are getting drunk. I mean, it was just issues that were happening. So it doesn't matter how many years you or I have been a Christian. Does not matter how many times we've read through the Bible, you know, that are that you're really into your church or how much you've given. It really determines, it comes right down, it's very revealing to any real Christian that's walking with God how we are relating to other people. That's revealing of our maturity or immaturity. So it's important. So you can't fake spiritual growth. There's no way. You cannot fake the work of spiritual transformation. It's always going to be developed and revealed in relationships. So just in case you're trying to determine, that person's been in that church a long time, but man, they're a wreck when it comes to relationships. Could be something God's trying to work with them on. So we want to get along and love each other. But an unloving attitude, pride, self-focus, this is really of the world. You and I know that. Just check out social media. It's seeming to ease down a little bit, but man, it's a hostile environment out there when you want to express your opinion. But the world also is easily led astray. Easily led astray. That's what Scripture is saying to us. Because it's interesting to note, the world follows what is false. It's just a mind-boggler to realize how spiritually immature people are easily influenced by lies too. Because you look at the world and the falsehood that the world's going after. They deny gender. They really deny reality on that. They deny life in the womb. They deny justice. They deny real, clear, historical events. I think it's fascinating. That's what immaturity does. And then it happens to immature Christians. They buy into that. So people who grow up understand that. Many Christians are falling to these same lies. If you go down just a little bit, you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Remember where we were there? Says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We will not be influenced with people. Try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Check that out with me. You want to write that down. So when we deal with that, immature Christians get tricked pretty easily. Let's look at number B. Letter B, spiritual maturity. What does that look like? Letter B says it looks like Jesus. So we're there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, says that we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Wow. Now that is a high watermark, and I sure like that. I mean, let's follow Jesus. Isn't that true? And it's important for us. Jesus is that standard, full and complete measure, the scripture's saying. But that's not, to me, that's not going to bum me out. Like, man, how am I ever going to accomplish that? There's no way. I got a long way to go. What that does should keep us humble, should keep us saying, man, I need to continue to pursue. I'm not there yet. And you and I know we're not going to be there yet. Praise the Lord. We're not going to come to a completion individually till we get to glory, till we get to Jesus. And the scripture says that. Let me show you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Write that down. It says this, and I am certain that God will begin, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Glory to God. Now, that's encouraging for me, so hang in there. You and I compare to Jesus. But, Lord, help me, Paul Harmon, to develop and to grow. It's important for us. So Jesus is not, when he knows that spiritual maturity is not a linear line, it's just not like this. You've seen in my little artwork, because Christianity, some people say, there's no excitement in being a Christian. Are you kidding me? There's a lot. How about this worship today? Man, if you're going to jump on in, go for it. But remember when you were first born again? You've got that story. Remember, you're like 110% sheer excitement. Ooh, you were off the Richter scale. It's like, man, I am glory bound. This is great. I'm going to tell everybody. And then, because faith grows, faith grows. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Your faith is growing even by opening the scriptures like this. Excitement, emotion, that happens, comes and goes. But faith, because it grows ever so subtly, but it grows, I find immature Christians, they never make the connection to walk by faith. So let's just say a new Christian, been walking with the Lord all of 6 months, pumped, they're motivated, 110, it's been great. And then what's called a yo trial. Somebody didn't really treat them well. And now they're bumming, and the emotional high has dropped down like this. And because we are to walk by faith, not by sight, the accelerated faith, that excitement goes below the faith growth line. And it's right here. Usually people cut out and leave Jesus. I'm no longer excited. It's not fun being a Christian. I'm quite irritable and miserable. And nobody has ever, ever taught how to become spiritually mature. So hang in there. Be careful. So how do I build my life with spiritual growth? I'm so glad you asked that. Thank you. Let's knock that out here. Number three, be intentional with spiritual growth. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Be intentional with spiritual growth. It's going to be a lifestyle. It is not going to be a one and done. Establish your life with spiritual growth. God will bless you. But let's look at Hebrews 5, verse 12. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others instead. Boo-hoo. You need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Wow, if a person doesn't even know the difference between right and wrong, we really got to go to elementary levels. But check it out. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. The English Standard Version says, but those who have discerned abilities have really trained by constant practice the Word of God. I like the New King James rendering. That says, have been able to discern basically by reason of use of the Word of God. You've got to do, use the Word to say, does this work? If you and I just are further educated believers in Jesus, then you can imagine. It's really the doing. So letter A, we take a look here. Constant learning is going to be important. We'll just start there. Start to understand who you are in Jesus. Sometimes you have to understand your giftings or your past wounds. It's important. Constant learning. Who am I in Jesus? What does God's word say about who I am, and how do I recover some of those things? So we must learn what God has to say. That's important. So I think it's going to be important. You're going to find as you learn the word of God, come on Wednesday nights, you're going to start to see things. God will show you your brokenness. Maybe he'll show you how influences control you. Maybe you'll find out ways with which you can grow beyond those influences that control you. It's very exciting when people start to grow and mature, discover your gifts and your abilities, your true purpose in life. Oh, that's so fun. I exist for this purpose. Letter B, constant application. Now, the application is a big deal for our life groups. That's the bottom if you take a look at that, the apply it. Because not enough for me or for God's word to say, hey, I'm glad you're here and it was a nice discussion. You shared what you needed to share. But is there anything new you want to apply in your life? That's where the blessings are. Remember, that's what James chapter 2, verse 18 said. Remember, he said, oh, yeah, good for you. You've got faith. That's it. Well, I've got actions. And so you try to tell me your faith by just bragging about it, I'm going to show you my faith by my actions. That's what James 2:18 says. Faith without works is really dead faith. So let's jump on in there and let's apply that. Therefore, we want to practice how to love other people, or practice being humble, or practice serving. Isn't it fun? We want to practice praying. We want to practice influencing other people in your home. I mean, you really want to practice being generous. How about just practicing being grateful? When was the last time you just were grateful? That's a beautiful thing. It's amazing when you start to see, man, that's the person I want to hang around with because they are grateful for everything. Man, doesn't take a rocket scientist to bring up my negative sides. But it's pretty fun to hang out with some pretty excitable people who are grateful. So when we take a look at letter C, constant input from others is very important. So we're talking about making it a lifestyle of establishing your life with spiritual growth. We can't grow without others in our lives. If you're the only voice to yourself, you're going to stall out. No challenge there. So we want to make sure you have others. Hey, listen, I think we've all gone on YouTube to find a how to do it video, haven't we? Huh? Plumbing, I did a ceiling fan. It's like, I'm going on YouTube. Come on. Why don't we do that as Christians? Let's get somebody in my life and show me how to do it. You've gone there before. You're in the situation where I'm at now. Show me a video. It's fun. Letter D, constant feedback. It's important. It means correction and affirmation. It's always important. Have those individuals in our lives. Tell me if that a boy is so significant. If you're struggling with receiving feedback, I'm just going to tell you that's a sign of immaturity. And as a young pastor, a little upstart, I did not want to go face other pastors, because I felt so incomplete and so insignificant, and I didn't want their input. But I was immature, and I can still be immature, but ask people to coach you. Now, I've heard people, we need mentors here. Well, I'm telling you, just go ask somebody to be your mentor or offer yourself. We have whole generations. We have young people that think the older generation's too busy to mentor or coach. We have the older generation think that the younger people, they don't want anything to do with being told. Well, I identify with that when I was younger, but they really want. It's a new day. It's a new day. They need some coaching and some helping. Go offer your services. Don't stay home. Come on out. We need your voice. And letter E, constant perseverance is going to be important. Never quit. Spiritual growth is hard work that requires a lifetime. I'm still in the making, but I'm so glad. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The hard work to grow spiritually far outweighs anything I have had to surrender or give up in time or attention or involvement. It so outweighed anything that I felt I had to give up in other priorities. I'm going to conclude with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says, patient endurance is what you need now. I think that's a prophetic word, don't you? So that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that he has promised. I sure like that. The rewards of spiritual growth far outweighs anything you think you're going to have to give up. Anything. I'm just telling you, that's been my life journey, and I am so glad I set certain things down in order to secure other things that I have in Jesus. Well, thank you for listening. We're all about growth here at Hope Chapel. Not only growing a church numerically, but growing a church spiritually, one person at a time. So it's important for me. And I want to just pray a blessing over what God just spoke to you. What God just spoke to you. What God just spoke to you. And because you're going to probably lose it as soon as you leave the double doors, and we want to secure it. So, Father, Holy Spirit, sick them. Okay, that's it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, huh? All right. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.